Hello there. Are you ready to hear tales of the paranormal, weird, unexplained, and just plain creepy? If the answer is yes, then welcome to your worst nightmare. But be warned, there's no turning back. Now here are Todd, Sean, and Nate, and they are middle-aged and creeped out.
Hey, creepies. Welcome to episode 179. Nate is your tech engineer. We are your hosts, Todd and Sean, and we are middle-aged and creeped out. What's going on, Nate?
Oh, not a whole lot.
Are you sure about this?
Looking forward to this Wednesday evening of recording.
That's right. Did you think I was going to show up tonight?
I had my reservations.
Had you worried? Remember when we rescheduled, a couple weeks back, and we had made it for, Thursday instead of Wednesday?
Yeah,
and you called me or texted me, you're like, hey, I forgot you weren't supposed to come. I was like, wait a minute, where's Sean at?
So yeah, that was my bad. I completely spaced that one, totally.
Yeah, that's not like you.
Yeah. Well, you know, when you're putting in weeks with no...
Have you still not
days
taken
off? No, I had this last weekend off. Yeah,
I was like, you need to talk to Dave Chappelle.
Yeah, everything runs together, and then you forget conversations, and yeah, you forget.
That's all right. Hey, but that's what makes us middle aged, right?
Oh yeah.
So you're having a good week, ish.
Yeah. It hasn't been too bad.
Okay.
Just minute little headaches at work, but you know. You'll
we'll
have them.
We'll make an allowance for that, though. Mm-hmm. Is that what you're saying?
Yeah.
Yeah, I think I told you before off air before when we first got together tonight. It's been a good week, and I said surprisingly, and I was like, well, that didn't sound very nice. I mean, it's not surprising, but it's been good. So yeah. I have to say, it's kind of weird. It's gone so fast, and it's been busy, but it's been good.
Yeah, you got to take them as they come.
I think we were talking about embracing the suck at some point in these past mm-hmm. episodes, and you were talking about, would you say you were trying to be more enlightened? I like that. What'd you say? You were trying to be more enlightened, and then how'd you say that? Dang it. I've already forgotten.
I don't know. I can't remember. I blinked. I don't know. Keep an open mind of your path in life and try not to let little stuff get in the way.
Yeah.
Of the big picture.
Slowly but surely, we're both getting there, right?
Oh, yeah. Work in progress.
That's right. Yeah, I wish I could remember. It was genius the way you said it. It was like so like profound, and then it was like, but I'm still like, you know, just a mortal. So-and-so. We're guilty.
Try to be enlightened, but... In the day, I'm still a moron.
There so. You go. That's what I hear saying something like that. I was like, no, that's not true at all. I'll still call you a guru, right? So it's the first day of school for the kiddos.
Right? It is, yeah.
So shout out that we'll do an early shout out to all the kids. First day of school, right? Mm-hmm. Parker and Dane, right there. So Parker is a senior.
He is a senior.
Dane is a sophomore, right?
Mm-hmm.
So both high schoolers. Ooh. Harrison is a junior. I got it. Claire is a freshman. William is seventh grade, and Ella is fifth grade. Someday I'll use this as like, remember when kind of thing. But yeah, I think everybody had a good day today. So
good.
I haven't gotten to, honest to God, I haven't gotten to talk to all of them, but it sounded like they all survived. So mm-hmm. it was a good thing. But yeah, so shout out to them. Shout out to the teachers. I know Todd had said that during last episode, shout out to his wife, Amy. Mm-hmm. But we're going to shout out definitely again to her, but to all teachers, superintendents, administrators, housekeepers, everything that makes teachers aides, everybody that keeps it going.
Yep.
Right.
They have a hard job and don't get paid enough.
That's right. And then all the students and like I said, and all the parents that are getting them going. And mm-hmm. so we shout out to all of you guys and all you creepies. So we hope it's going to be a good school year for everybody.
Yeah. I'd be a horrible teacher. Everybody's nose would be in the corner. I'd run out of corners.
That's right. Yeah. You're just no patience is what you're saying, right? You'll deal with your workers at on your construction sites instead, huh?
Yeah, I can ignore them.
There's no corners to put them in. Different kind of corner, right? So, well, anyway, like I said, I hope it's going to be a good school year for everybody mm-hmm. out there. All right. So what do we have here first? We have our sponsor, and we are thrilled to have them.
Are you tired of an itchy, unruly beard? Want a beard that looks great, feels amazing, and smells masculine and sexy? Meet your new best friend, Cultured Creature Beard Balm. Cultured Creature Beard Balm is a game changer. Made with all natural ingredients like mango butter, shea butter, argan, avocado, jojoba, grape seed, and meadowform seed oil. It nourishes your beard and the skin beneath. Say goodbye to dryness and itchiness, and hello to soft, well-groomed, and great-smelling beard. Not only does it tame your mane, but it also leaves a subtle, masculine scent with options like Cuban tobacco, sandalwood and bourbon, cedar and leather, and more. Feel confident all day, whether at the office or on a date or at the gym. It's easy to use. Just rub a small amount between your palm and work it into your beard. Simple and effective, and no mess. Cultured Creature Beard Balm is handmade, organic, and natural. Made by a father-daughter duo with over 20 years of beard care experience. It's packed with vitamins and nutrients and zero additives or preservatives. Ready to transform your beard? Visit refineyourwildside.com and use promo code MAKO10, that's MAACO10, for an extra 10% off your first order. Plus, all Cultured Creature Beard Balm is already 20% off, so that's 30% off your first order. Cultured Creature Beard Balm, where nature meets nurture for the ultimate beard care experience. Don't tame your wild side, refine it with Cultured Creature Beard Balm.
So what do you think of that?
That's a sponsor.
It is a sponsor. And you now have product in hand, right?
I have it, yes.
Do you have
physically.
It in beard?
Not tonight, no.
Have you tried it, though?
Yeah. I've used it. Yeah,
you like it?
Yeah.
Can
nice.
You smell it? Because I still can't smell.
Yeah,
so it's
I can smell it.
It's going to be nothing to
I
me.
I don't know if I smell it correctly, but yeah, this right. smells good from
Does Rachel like it
my
or
point
anybody?
Of view. She liked the smell of one, and then she did not like the smell of the other.
Yeah. Okay.
So
we'll have to see if Todd would he knows like what's that? What's that delightful and delicious smell? I smell. Nate, is that your beard?
Mm-hmm.
You know he's going to say something. Yeah. So well, that's awesome, and I'm glad that you have that. And so thank you to our sponsor. Do you have the first announcements?
I may have them. Yes.
You may. You may not.
First announcements are. As everybody knows that listens to our show, we enjoy coming together and having guy time and going through some of this creepy stuff and learning some stuff about it and things that we didn't know about it, even the ones that are highly popular. But we come together for a reason, and we like to, let it be known that everybody has a mental distress and issues from time to time, and we'd like to give those numbers out for help. Mm-hmm. So call or text 988 or text HOME to 741-741 for any type of mental distress, suicide prevention, or any other type of crisis that you or someone you know may be experiencing. And that's very important because it's not just for said person who has a mental issue. It could be the best friend or loved one or whoever wants to reach out and see what kind of help they can offer to this said person.
Mm-hmm.
So that's always a nice tidbit to remember.
Or co-host sitting to the right of you.
Yes.
That's namely me. That's fair. Thank you for that. I appreciate that greatly. And I think all the creepies out there appreciate it. It's time for shout outs.
Shout it out.
Shout it out loud. Which is exactly what we do in Todd's stead. We sing Kiss songs, right?
Yeah.
That's right. So my first shout out I'm going to say is, because I'm going to go ahead and take the first one, is mm-hmm. to shout out to Todd, our brother in arms, right? Our brother mm-hmm. in podcasting. I'm going to shout out, like I said, we shouted out, you know, the whole school and teachers and everything. So that's definitely still part of our shout outs. I'm also going to quickly shout out and make sure that we acknowledge and thank, Pete Peterson and Harrison, for helping us out. I don't know why I always have to use Pete Peterson's at full name. Like I just have to, I guess I could say Harrison Lehman too, right? But thank you guys for helping us out, with a couple of our different episodes. We greatly appreciate it. I know another one of Pete's dropped tonight, the Philadelphia Experiment. So I'm excited. I spot listened to some of that. Just make sure everything sounded good and was in place. And, but it sounded good from what I heard. So
excellent.
I'm hoping to listen to it here one of these days, and I'm excited about it. So I think he did amazing. I know, like I said, all his episodes were awesome. The ones that Harrison did were great as well, and we appreciate all their help. And other than that, I don't think I had any other shout-outs. Was that enough shout-outs?
I think so.
I took my quota right and then some, like I normally do. All right, do you have any shout-outs?
I do. Shout out to my boys, piggybacking off of your earlier shout out. First day of school, they survived. They're home. They're doing well. Maybe feverish, but we'll see.
school fever.
And then 'tis the season and the year. Shout out to all the Olympic athletes.
Yeah, that's right. Have you been watching?
When I can, yep.
Yeah, I've watched a little
United States is smoking in the medal count, so
heck yeah.
Congratulations.
That's right.
Go USA. And everybody else is awesome, too.
USA.
We're a world of one.
A-okay, but. Right. That's right. I've watched the basketball, been watching some of the volleyball, indoor and outdoor, right?
I watched some of the beach volleyball. I've watched fencing.
I feel bad about watching the girls. I know this sounds crazy, but that's, I feel bad about watching some of the beach volleyball because they don't wear very much.
Yeah.
And I mean, I'm not judging, and you know, but in my younger years, it wasn't that long ago that I've been like, that's awesome to watch, but I feel like a dirty old man anymore. And then I have two daughters, and so I'm like, put some clothes on, you know. So anyway, but it is fun, and they're amazing, honestly.
I watched some diving last night.
Yeah, synchronized swimming. That's insane.
I missed that one, but I watched some of the track, the hurdlers. I can't remember her name, but she's married to a ex-NFL player. She is phenomenal on the hurdles. It showed, they did a thing where it showed her doing the 400 hurdles.
Yeah.
And the regular girl's just running the 400. And with the hurdle, she would have placed seventh in the regular race.
Isn't that crazy?
That's insane. Then I watched her heat
to
get into the final. And she was, let's just say, a normal size car, probably two car lengths ahead of second place.
Wow.
And wasn't even struggling. She just like sort of trotting.
That's awesome. Isn't that amazing?
So, yeah, it's phenomenal. Yeah.
I think, you know, there's a lot of highlights in this Olympic Games, but I think one of the things that's going to go down in history, and I'm not even talking about the opening ceremonies, we won't go there, but the guy that, the pole vaulter that was disqualified for making contact with a certain part of his body, that was, I can't imagine, like.
That was hilarious.
I'm kind of surprised I didn't have more often, honestly, but there was other people that were, they were teasing about, not just in pole vaulting, but like, diving, they were like. My goodness sakes, what's happening there? But anyway, it's this, you know, God bless the young. That's all I got to say about that. So, but yeah, I'm enjoying. I haven't watched it a whole lot. It's on a lot of times at work, and I've seen, Jen and I've watched a little bit of it. But anyway, so yeah, shout out definitely to all the athletes out there in the Olympians. But definitely, to
we know we're country. We know they're listening to us.
That's right. Oh, you know they are. That's what they're doing in their spare time, right? Yeah, right. Sure. I've heard what they're doing in their spare time. So anyway, okay, that's the shout outs. I have special announcements. This is, we're down to one because once this, happens or this, is released, we will have already had, our, meet and greet, in McCordsville. So we'll have to let you know.
Oh, it was wonderful. I had such a great
time. Yeah. I was going to say, well, yeah, fantastic. Right. We'll let you know how that was. Right. So the one special announcement we have is the Creeped Out and Haunted Live Show 2024 will, be at Greenwood Happy Haunts in Greenwood, Indiana. It will be on Saturday, September 21st, and starting at 6 p.m. Arrival time is 5:15. Our special guest speaker is paranormal investigator and author Austin Lawrence. Tickets are only $10, and they can be pre-purchased or when you arrive the day of the show. The options are PayPal, which is at TWHedges312, Venmo is at Todd-Hedges, that's ES, -3. Cash App is $Todd William 12. And good old-fashioned cash works as well. Hope to see you all there for a night of creepy fun. Creepy, right?
We'll be there.
That's right. Well, that's we're obligated, right?
Yeah.
That's right.
It's in the contract.
Todd's there. Nate's there. I'm there. Yeah, it is in our contract. Lots and lots and lots of zeros. And Austin Lawrence is getting lots of zeros as well.
Mm-hmm.
Right? So is Greenwood Happy Haunts. Right? That's,
it's all in good fun.
Oh, that's absolutely right. Corey and Scott, you think they're ready for us mentally preparing?
I think they're probably itching to see us again.
I am too. Yeah. See, you haven't said anything negative about them in a long, long time. I shouldn't have brought it up.
They're sort of growing on me, but
I was gonna say, here I come.
It's debatable, though.
Here comes the spoon, right? I'm glad to see that. By the way. All right. Well, what in the world are we going to talk about tonight?
Tonight, our topic will be the Amityville Horror House.
I'm glad you said it correctly. Horror. That's good.
And if you're interested, please check out our source links that we used for this topic.
This is your topic pick, right?
Yes, from a long, long time ago, I believe.
That is correct.
It's been on the list.
It has been for a while.
Because it's everybody does this one. Everybody knows about it. And if you don't know about it, you're living under a rock.
That's right.
But, hey, it's a haunted location. Mm-hmm. Has a story. And
it's got quite a story, right?
Let's discuss it.
Okay, sounds good. Do you want me to do a little bit of a foundation?
Sure.
So the Amityville House, located at 112 Ocean Avenue in Amityville, Long Island, New York, is infamous for its dark history and alleged paranormal activity. There is a confirmed mass murder, which we'll talk about. Then there's a family that stayed there that has a story that we're going to talk about, the Lutzes. And then basically anything after it and what it's currently looking like. And then obviously there's been a book written about it and a movie.
Movies,
which is something we grew up with. And I'll be honest with you, just to start the discussion, I always just assumed, you know, I mean, I know the murders are real, but the hauntings, I never even questioned them. I'm like, well, yeah, this is just based on a true story.
Yeah.
So I've never thought about it as being like debunked or needed to be debunked or anything like that. Mm-hmm.
And I've seen the movies, and I believe there's been a remake of it too with Ryan Reynolds.
Yeah, and that was 2012?
2009.
Yeah. Oh, okay. Yeah.
2009 remake starring Ryan Reynolds.
Okay.
I have watched them, but I do not remember a single thing about them. I've seen so many movies and other things since then, I don't remember them.
Yeah, and I know the original was excellent. And I never watched the one with Ryan Reynolds, but I think, as I remember hearing, it was good.
Yeah, that's the one I remember the most.
Yeah.
If I remember anything from it.
I need to watch that, honestly. But because Ryan Reynolds, everything he touches is gold. Mm-hmm. Or, I mean, at least most of the time.
I've been a fan since Van Wilder.
Me too. Not the Proposal. No, I think The Proposal. Wasn't that okay? I don't remember. I've seen it, but I can't remember. He jokes about it, I know. Mm-hmm. Oh. So yeah. Where do you want to start with all this? Where do you want to dig in?
Well, let's start November 13th, 1974. A mass murder occurred inside this home.
I didn't think bad things happened on the 13th. I thought those were good for you and I both. 13th has been good to us.
It's got to be a good day because that's my birthday.
Right.
October 13th.
June
13th.
Right, yeah. So I don't know what...
I don't have any problems with 13th.
No, this, yeah, this is a blip, right?
I like Friday the 13th movies.
That's right.
Yeah, I like 13.
Mm-hmm.
It was a bad day there. Mass murder. And I'm just hitting a couple highlights. We can dive into them deeper here shortly. A year after the mass murders, the property was sold. And... the hauntings proceeded, and the new owners lasted a mere 28 days, and they left the house.
That's not very long.
No. So, the one thing about this house that everybody always mentions or references is the two, like, upper windows on the side of the home.
Yeah, it's very noticeable.
Some people say the house with those, it looks like eyes and makes a face. Mm-hmm. So like the house is alive. You can make it look
demonic.
Yeah. Since then, I have heard, I'm 96%, that's pretty good odds, they have remodeled and changed those windows.
That is correct. And they, supposedly that made it, that house made a cameo in Jaws. Or like, they're like, look, it's the Amityville Horror House in the background of one of the scenes. I'm like, it's pretty awesome, actually. Yeah, that's correct. Yeah, but like you said, the murders happened in 74. The Lutzes moved in 74, 70, between 74 and 75. Before, like you said, for a total, a grand total of 28 whole days.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it made, when you listen to their story, it makes it sound like they were a lot there a lot longer than 28 days. But then when you listen to the details of everything that they experienced, I don't know how they stayed for 28 days.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that would have felt like 28 years, honestly.
Oh, yeah.
But then, yeah, their renovations. So after they moved out in the, you know, 28 days later, renovations and changes from 1975 to 2017, the house remained vacant for several years before being renovated and sold multiple times. The address was changed to 108 Ocean Avenue in an attempt to discourage sightseers. And like you said, it was remodeled. The current status today, the Amityville Amityville House, they don't even call it the Horror House anymore, is a private residence and not open to the public, so don't you go trespassing. It has undergone significant renovations, it says, and its original appearance has been altered, i.e. the windows, right?
Yep. The property was built on top of a, hopefully I'm saying this right, Shinnecock burial ground.
Okay, that sounds just scandalous, but yeah.
One of the previous owners, John Ketchum.
Ketchum if you can.
Was a vowed satanic worshiper.
Oh.
And those two rumors are uncorroborated, but are now chalked up to the many fabricated claims about the property.
What? I'm going to hold on to all the fabrication
I
can.
If they are true, that might be some of the truth behind or the reasonings behind it being haunted and demonic and all the above.
I think the mass murderer could honestly equate that. Probably
didn't help. A lot of energy.
The one thing that cannot be refuted is that there were mass murderers. You know, this kid basically killed his whole family. Right.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, and it's so, it was a calm, cool, collected. Was it Ronald DeFeo Jr. killed 6 members of his family, including his parents and 4 siblings at the house.
He was 23.
And they all, he's still a kid. And he's still in jail, right? He is, as I recall and remember, I'm pretty sure never getting out. Those members too were found face down in their beds. And there was no struggle, no sign of struggle. It's very, very strange.
Yeah, it says that he shot him.
Yeah, but...
He ran to the local bar and, according to the trial transcripts, said at the bar, you got to help me. I think my mother and father are shot.
Yeah. Yeah, because he tried to make up a story like somebody else did it or he didn't know and was somewhere else or whatever. And it didn't take long before they were like, this was him. You know, they figured it out. I don't think it was that hard to figure out.
Yeah, so he had a hitman alibi.
Mm-hmm. So. Yeah, he thought somebody else had done it, and it was like his story was so full of holes. And then, and they said he confessed pretty quickly. It sounded like
pled insanity.
They, So, and I don't think they bought that case either, right?
I don't think so.
Yeah.
He got 6 sentences for each victim of 25 years to life. He died in prison in 2021.
Oh, okay. So he is dead then. Yeah. Yeah. I was going to say that, if he is dead, it wasn't that long ago. So during COVID then. Yeah.
Yeah.
I'd say God rest his soul, but oh my gosh, that's a terrible thing. But you'd have to be insane. Like I'm sorry, but any serial killers cannot be of sound mind. So, I mean, if you plead insanity, I don't think it's that hard. You know, doesn't matter. I mean, he's still going to be put in prison or, you know, an asylum of some kind of a mental asylum.
So, yeah, like a year later, the house was on the market. George and Kathleen Lutz bought the house for $80,000 under the market value due to the infamous murders. Well, I'd imagine so.
Right, yeah. Got it for a steal. And I bet they wish they hadn't, right?
Uh-huh.
There's all kind of, there's like pictures of them taken outside of the home and, you know, I don't know. It's like if you bought a home and, I mean, they knew that this happened, so it was told to them, and that, but they just fell in love with it and they felt a draw to this house. And so they were like, you know, we understand what happened, you know, but we're going to basically change the energy and we'll love this home and make it ours. And
they actually brought a Catholic priest in to bless the home.
They did. How'd that go?
Went well. I mean, they did it. And
and it worked for no time.
I mean, it made them feel good for a minute.
Apparently, yeah, right. So it says, yeah, it says George and Kathy Lutz, along with three children, purchased the house. Aware of its gruesome past, they claim to have experienced intense paranormal activity, including unexplained noises, moving objects, and supernatural visions. And then after, well, like we said, those 28 days, they fled the house in terror.
Oh, okay.
So how good did the priest do? Sorry, priest.
It was mentioned that they tape recorded for remembrance purposes, as he was blessing the house, and said Father Ralph called them on Christmas Eve and told them he heard a voice telling him to get out during the blessing, and the family should stay out of the second floor bedroom where the Defoe parents resided. Hmm. So yeah,
still think it went well. Yeah, you're like, nah, could have went better.
You know, I mean.
Get out, priest.
So from that, at that point, supposedly a rash of incidents occurred in the house that were so frightening that the Lutz family escaped the house, as you said, January 14th, 1976. They sent a mover to pack all their possessions and put the house back on the market. Said, nope, we are moving.
Audi, right?
Yep.
Kathy Lutz reported experiencing red welts on her chest, levitation above her bed, always a clear sign of something wrong, right?
Mm-hmm.
And seeing a demon burned into the fireplace, also a bad sign.
Wow.
George claimed to have seen strange objects moving and heard unexplained noises. Daniel, which is one of the children, he still lives in Queens, New York. He claims the experience completely ruined his life, and this continues to haunt his dreams to this day. I think that's pretty scary. So that's the other thing is, it's like, if it's totally made up, you wouldn't think that it would still. I mean, and I don't know. Maybe you still want to make it sound believable, but that's a lot to take your family through and to destroy your credibility because you're trying to like pull a fast one. I know we've talked about this in other stories. I don't know. Yeah. You know, and then they say, well, nothing's ever happened since.
Yeah. So I was wondering
if
it attached to them and
stayed
with them.
Right.
Which, exactly. I mean, I've heard that in other stories happening. It's not necessarily the place. It's right time, wrong place at the right time. It attaches to said family that's in there, likes them, and stays with them.
Yeah.
So, you know, I mean, there's been stories of, you know, like people seeing a shadow figure at some place that they lived at and then moved and figuring, oh, finally good riddance. And then it's there at the new place.
Yeah.
They just constantly see it no matter where they're at.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, they very well could have done that.
Just paranormal activity, right? Yep. That's what we talked about. That.
Because, yeah, as you said, it was purchased by James and Barbara Cromarty, who lived in the house for decades, and no paranormal sightings.
Yeah, and when the Amityville Horror, which is the book by American author Jay Anson, published September of 1977, so shortly after all these events, also became the basis of a series of films released from 1979 onward. Book is based on the claims of the paranormal experiences by the Lutz family, has led to controversy and lawsuits over its truthfulness. So, like I said, it is still, they say, you know, a lot of people have when you listen to some of the stuff, they're like, oh, it's been debunked, it's been disputed, it's been, you know, shown to not be true. But I don't know if that's actually really a fair, because for a while there I was like, well, maybe it has been, maybe it is, it was just a big made up thing. But I'm not sure that they have ever really been able to prove that.
Yeah.
Because I mean, they claimed it was based on a true story, or a it is a true story.
Yeah. Well, the Cromarties, they refuted a lot of the stories that were in the book. They said that in the book, there's stories of greenish black slime and a hidden red room, which was just a closet. Yeah, they're saying none of that was real. Independent investigators proved the cloven hoof prints that were said to be found in the snow would be impossible, because there was no snow during the time of the Lutz lived there. So yeah, they debunked a lot of stuff that's in the story or in the book. Which, I mean, if you're writing a book, you gotta make it entertaining. So take it upon yourself to add some little dashes of fun stuff in there.
Mm-hmm. This is interesting. It says the Lutz family moved in on December 18th, 1975. Much of the DeFeo, so the murder family's furniture, was still in the house because it was included for $400 as part of the deal to buy the house.
Mm.
And like I said, it was very well known to them that this was a murder house. A friend of George Lutz learned about the history of the house and assisted on having it blessed at the time, like you're talking about, from the father. At the time, George was a non-practicing Methodist and had no experience of what this would entail. Kathy was a non-practicing Catholic and explained the process. George knew a Catholic priest named Father Ray, who had agreed to carry out the house blessing. In Anson's book, real-life priest Ralph, so that's what your priest Ralph, it was actually priest Ray in real life, as referred to as Father Mancuso for privacy reasons. Father Mancuso was a lawyer, judge of the Catholic court, and psychotherapist who lived at the local Sacred Heart Rectory. Yeah, so they were, says he arrived to perform the blessings while George and Kathy were unpacking their belongings on the afternoon, December 18th, 1975, and went into the building to carry out the rites. When he flickered the first holy water and began to pray, he heard a masculine voice saying, "Get out." When leaving the house, Father Mancuso did not mention this incident to either George or Kathy. On December 24th, so Christmas Eve, Father Mancuso called George Lutz and advised him to stay, like you said, out of the room that they were in. So it's interesting he didn't tell him right away. Said that the former bedroom of Mark and John, John Matthew DeFeo and Kathy planned to use apparently that room as a sewing room. But the call was cut short by static. So following the visit from the house, Father Mancuso allegedly developed a high fever and blisters on his hands, similar to stigmata. At first, which is, you know, the signs, you know, that people get of the, like the nail, the nail markings of Christ's hands from the crucifixion. But, and at first, George and Kathy experienced nothing unusual in the house, talking about their experiences. Subsequently, they reported that it was as if each were living in a different house.
Wow. Yeah, it says here the Lutz family encountered a swarm of flies despite having moved in the middle of winter. Cold spots and strange odors in areas with no ventilation to explain them. And a hidden room which terrified the family dog, Missy Lutz. Then, 5 years old, developed an imaginary friend named Jody.
Yep.
Demonic pig-like creature with the glowing red eyes, which I think we've talked about those before.
Mm-hmm.
On Christmas Day, her father...
Pigman, right?
Yep. George saw Jody staring down at him from Missy's window. The creature was gone when he sprinted upstairs, but a rocking chair was still moving back and forth when he arrived in the room. His wife, Kathy, also saw a pair of glowing red eyes after shutting Missy's window, and a trail of giant cloven hoof prints were found in the snow on New Year's Day, even though they said there was no snow that day. So yeah, you said some of these, Kathy with the red welts and levitating above her bed. George saw the image of a demon burn into the back of the fireplace.
Apparently two of the son, Daniel and Christopher, also doing the levitation together in their bed. So,
objects would often move, on their own. And sometimes harming the family in process and producing strange odors. So there's a lot of activity, so they claim.
You said that George Lutz's stepfather had a history in the occult, right? And it said that George would wake up at 3:15 a.m. every morning. And supposedly that was when those murders were carried out. By Ron. And that was just strange to him. That it's like, it just, that's really, really weird, you know? And how would he know that? You know, like, I'm waking up at 3:15 every night, you know, like, and they said that the, Lutz family did not want to know the details of these murders. So they were not told specifically what happened and all these kind of things. And like, they were found face down and all this. I still think that's very strange that they were found face down and no struggle. Like, that just doesn't make...
Well, I think he went in there after they went to bed and were sleeping and shot him.
But they all slept face down. Like, I mean, possibly.
He might have rolled him over face down.
Well, I assume so.
To look at him, yeah.
I guess, but that's just... That in itself is creepy. You know what I mean? Like, I mean, well, you know, you're doing... Like, insanity, really? I think if you have a conscience, then you don't want to look at what you've just done. But I think that's... I don't know. That's a whole other step. That the whole thing's awful, but that just seems really creepy, too.
There's some new pictures if you go online and look
up to see what it looks like.
Yeah, those iconic windows are no longer there.
This says there's many questions of the validity of the Lutz's story. After telling their story, George and Kathy took a lie detector test to prove their innocence. They both passed. The couple was bogged down in legal and financial issues, which prompted skeptics to believe they had the motive to create a fantastical story to sell to the public. Again, that's a lot of trouble to go to for that. The Lutz's former lawyer, William Weber, who fell out with them over money issues, came out in 1979 claiming the three of them came up with the horror story over many bottles of wine. Son Daniel, who lives a quiet life in Queens, like I said, New York, as a stonemason, claims the house ruined his life and he continues to have nightmares to this day. Murderer Ron, who's still alive. Oh, this was back when he was still alive. He was serving his 25-year sentence, so this must have been before 2021. So he had claimed, when he was at a correctional facility, he claimed he heard voices urging him to kill his family. He had since not changed his story, he has since changed his story multiple times. That was before he ended up actually dying. So he was not a reliable historian anyway, obviously.
So apparently, Mr. Lutz claims that he heard his children's beds flaming up and down on the floor. I'm wondering if that's a typo. Maybe a flailing.
I mean, it's possible flaming, but
yeah. I mean, I think if they're
you'd have smell
flaming,
smoke.
The kids smell. Be screaming.
Yeah, exactly right. Yeah, flailing makes a lot more sense.
Yeah, flailing.
It's the first time we've ever come across a typo, right?
Yeah,
that happens all the time. it's interesting. It says it was officially sold February 2017 to an undisclosed owner for $605,000. Which was $200,000 less than the original asking price. It had previously been owned by four other families since the murders, one of which had the address changed to 108 Ocean Drive, because it was originally 112, because they really wanted, people would come and look for it and want to see it and gawk at it and want to talk to them and see, you know, what kind of experiences they were having. And people just got tired of it. So, yeah, I don't blame them, and I understand why they would want to change, excuse me, the address. And sorry, we both had the little belches there. I think we would do probably the exact same thing, is want to have some, either not live in that house, right, or want some anonymity and make some changes so people either can't find it as easily or think, well, this can't be it. It doesn't have the
burn
right,
it to the ground.
Doesn't have the right windows, right? Yeah. Apparently, blessing it with a priest didn't work, right?
No, I mean, as they claim, I mean, there hasn't been any other incidences in there since the Lutzes, so, I mean, there's no apparent reason to, you know, tear it down or do anything like that, if that is true. Yeah, it just, that would get old, having people trying to seek it out and take pictures in front of it or whatever, you know, trying to see inside of it or whatever they're trying to do, knocking on the door. Can we spend the night? Yeah, I can see how that could be quite the nuisance after buying a home and trying to make it yours and trying to live peacefully, as long as you're not having paranormal experiences.
So did you see the new updated, did you see that picture of the new updated windows? Yeah, definitely. You can still kind of see a little bit of the house, but those windows definitely gave it the feel of, oh, that's the Amityville house.
It used to be dubbed the High Hopes house. There used to be a sign that hung out in front of it.
Is that right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, this was back, trying to see here, being able to move. Okay. So when they purchased the home, the Defoes had four children, Ronald Jr., Don, Allison, and Mark. And one on the way, their son, John, was born later that year. Being able to move his family from their small apartment in Brooklyn to the spacious home on Ocean Avenue was a dream come true. For Ron Sr., who dubbed the house High Hopes. Okay, so Ron, Defoe's, he dubbed it the High Hopes and hung a sign bearing the name off of a post in the front lawn. Inside, however, Big Ron's pattern of abusive and controlling behavior towards his wife and children caused tension to build until it came to a tragic head 9 years later. So that explains a lot.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, you're the oldest son of children and constantly getting abused.
It's so sad, though.
Yeah.
Yeah, the whole thing is sad, honestly. This is interesting. The Amityville movie house in New Jersey and Wisconsin. So when the Amityville horror movie went into production in 1978, it had to find another filming location for its haunted house outside Long Island. Given its recent history as the scene of a local massacre, it's understandable why officials in Amityville wouldn't want any buzzards swooping in to film the real house on Ocean Avenue. Location scouts eventually found a new house at 18 Brooks Road in Toms River, New Jersey. It says the filmmakers added a superstructure around the house, altering its appearance and giving it those iconic windows shaped like quarter circle eyes to better resemble the Lutz home. Again, the windows are arguably the key feature that made the house look frightening, and now they're gone in favor of plain rectangles. Back in Street View, you can see how the house has also been moved back from the corner of Brooks and Dock, with another house now occupying the property where it once stood. The neighbors kept the boathouse that the filmmakers had constructed, because that's what the original house had too, is right off the water there, for the Amityville horror. The township, meanwhile, put ordinances in place to discourage filming in the area. But as Jersey Shore Online mentions, the Ocean County Historical Society has retained a collection of production artifacts from the Amityville horror as part of the stewardship of local history. So that's interesting, isn't it?
Yeah, it's saying here that, which, I don't know, this mass murder sort of baffles me a little bit. Just like the Axe murders.
Uh-huh.
What was that? Vidale. What's that town?
Oh, shoot. You're going to make me think.
Starts with the V. Todd would know if he was here.
I want to say Vidalia, and that's
the right. what I thought, too. That's an onion.
Totally.
Well, we paused so that we could figure out what the town's name was. It's a Veluska. Axe murders. Yeah. Like this article saying that Ron Sr. and Lewis both got shot twice, and then each of the four children, one single shot.
Yeah.
Guns are loud.
Yeah. Well, that's what, like...
So how do you get
four
shots off into your parents and then still go and get to your siblings?
And nobody has aroused or... That's what I'm saying. Like, they're all... I don't know. And there was no struggle. I mean,
the same thing with the axe murders. Like, went through and killed everybody in the house with an axe. Well, I mean, there's going to be noise. It's... That's what baffles me. It's like, is like the evil tension in the house so significant that it sort of trances everybody?
Deafening. I don't know. Like, that, it's weird.
It's baffling.
Yeah.
Because, I mean,
there's got to be some strategy, but I don't want to really know what that is.
I would think that, like, even in a sleeping in my home here, like, if a gunshot went off once. I would think I'd wake up and maybe wonder, was that real? What did I hear? What's going on? But then if I heard a second, then I'd be like, oh, you know, I mean, I don't know. Yeah. It's very, very unusual. I mean, obviously it happened. It happened. So
I don't know if part of the story that we know is happened, but it's very strange. We were talking about the other house that's in Wisconsin has to do with what we were talking about with the 2005 remake of Amityville Horror starring Ryan Reynolds and Melissa George in the roles of George. And I thought you said it was 2009.
2009 is what I saw.
I know. Well, who knows? Okay. So it was in the 2000s. I don't know. This says 2005. So who knows? Yeah. Well, we need to.
Well, that might've been when they're in production for it.
And it was
released in 2009.
Very good. Yeah. It says the roles, George and Kathy Lutz. Left the East Coast behind for the Badger State in the movie The Lutzes Roll Up on 412 Ocean Avenue and meet a real estate agent who tells them that the house was built in 1692 and it's one of the oldest Dutch colonials on Long Island. In reality, it's a lakeside home with Queen Anne Victorian architecture, which dates back to 1880. The house located at 27618, I don't know how you say that number, that's 27618 Silver Lake Road in Salem, Wisconsin, is called Oakwood Manor. According to Wisconsin Frights, its leering windows were again part of a facade added just for the movie. So this house doesn't look like it did on screen anymore either.
Mm-hmm.
Interesting.
It was...
it's got the windows.
2005.
Yeah, okay. So,
Come here to get all your... truth and knowledge, right?
Exactly, right? Well, again, there's typos out there. There's all kind of different stuff out there. You just never know. You have to actually look it up.
Fact check.
That's right. Even we make mistakes, right? It's very rare. It's extremely rare.
I mean, I might make a mistake, but it's on purpose. Yeah.
For effect, right?
So, yeah. Very popular story. Like I said, most people know about it. Did you have any more?
I don't, because it is
significant information.
No, it basically, you know, because it goes, like I said, it goes from a murder house to this house that has a brief history, 28 days of intense haunting and horror. And like you said, maybe potentially it was just something that was following through with that family. Maybe it was a complete hoax. It did inspire a book, which turned into a movie very quickly, though. Like I said, the book happened quickly. The movie happened, you know, by the end of that decade. And so it, for whatever it was, it is still in our minds today and in our consciousness. So I don't know. And I'm not here to honestly judge and say it was right or wrong or indifferent, but it's one of those things that, you know, you just, you wonder what exactly happened there. Like I said, it definitely was the scene of murder. So, you know, there's probably some kind of evil there.
Did you have it? I mean, obviously I'm present for this podcast, but as I'm searching for information, as you're talking, sometimes I'm not fully engaged in what you're saying.
At least you're honest.
Yeah. Hey, honesty, man. Did you say anything about what people were doing when they came to visit to search the house out and see it?
No, no.
Okay. Well, the Cromarties revealed just how bad the situation had gotten, saying that because so many visitors came late at night, they were barely sleeping. Once a man stood on the front lawn playing a bugle at 3 a.m.
What?
On another occasion, someone left human excrement on the porch. Around the holidays, the family's decorations were stolen. The home's horror house reputation even followed 14-year-old Joyce Cromarty to school, where classmates harassed her and asked repeatedly if she'd seen any ghosts since moving in. But they hadn't experienced any paranormal. So, yeah, that would get old.
I would think so, yeah. I could see why they want to be a little more incognito.
Yeah, for sure.
It is amazing, though, from all of the history of this, what came after it in the literature and books and then the movies. I mean, it is we'll use our French here, a chaton of stuff. I haven't read all these books, and I've not seen all these films, but this is a lot. Yeah. It says, literature alone, The Amityville Horror was 77. Murder in Amityville was a 1979 book. Excuse me. The Amityville Horror Part 2, these are still books. Amityville, The Final Chapter. Amityville, The Evil Escapes. The Amityville Curse. Amityville, The Horror Returns. Amityville, The Nightmare Continues. High Hopes, The Amityville Murders. That's what you're talking about, the High Hopes house. Mm-hmm. Amityville, My Sister's Keeper. And that is the literature. Films are The Amityville Horror, which is a 79 movie. Amityville 2, The Possession. Amityville 3D. God, that's got to be exciting. And then we're getting into the 80s, right? So 83. Amityville 4, The Evil Escapes. We're still in the 80s. Amityville Curse started in the 90s. Amityville, It's About Time in 92. Amityville, A New Generation. Amityville Dollhouse. The Amityville Horror, which is a remake in 2005. And then they say there's ones that were based on all the events. Amityville Haunting, Amityville Asylum, Amityville Death House, Amityville Playhouse, Amityville Vanishing Point, Amityville Legacy. Oh my gosh. And it just goes on and on and on. I mean, there's
Cash Cow.
No Escape, Exorcism, Evil Never Dies. I mean, this sounds like James Bond movies,
well,
right?
I mean, once you have, well, I mean, shoo, obviously you got the true story, mass murder definitely happened. Then the stories of paranormal, take it as you see it, possibly could have happened. So yeah, I mean, you start off with that, and then if you have any sort of imagination, which usually authors and movie writers and stuff like that, they do, you can just take off on it. And
this is funny, though. I mean, they eventually, especially around apparently COVID in the 2020s, they started just like ripping off other stuff. Amityville Poltergeist, Amityville Vampire, Amityville In Space. I was like,
Amityville Pizza.
That's like Leprechaun and Freddy, right? Yeah, like, we're just going to go to space. Or Jason, we're just going to go to space, right?
Just put Amityville in front of it.
Amityville in the hood. I mean, these have to, like, Amityville Karen. Like, seriously, these are, like, all jokey ones, mm-hmm, right? Amityville Christmas Vacation. I mean, these are all, these kids, these are some funny ones. I think it's her. Amityville Death Toilet. Now, I got to watch that one. So, like, these are hilarious.
You don't want to watch it.
Don't know where these come from, but I'm not even making this stuff up. That's what's funny. Like, you think, like, yeah, sure, Sean, but like, yeah, no, this is a bunch of garbage. But yeah, so there was, like you said, Cash Cow, and you can just Amityville Horror the heck out of things, apparently.
Mm-hmm.
This was a good one, though.
Yeah,
I think Todd would have enjoyed this talk. What do you think?
Oh yeah, for sure. Yeah, this thousands of people have talked about this. I'm sure there's hundreds of podcasts, but I like to say that we took a different approach at it. Maybe, I don't know.
Yeah, I think so. And the thing I wonder, because I don't know if you're ever going to be able to prove or disprove this. You know, yeah. What I mean, it's always going to be kind of an up in the air thing. I wonder. Like I said, I'm not. I don't even know if I have a percentage, but of where I'm at with it. But I wonder whether Todd believes it or not, or whether he has much of a theory. So I'll have to catch us up.
So the only thing I can fathom is that, yes, there was some dark energy in there. You know, the satanic stuff and the burial ground. They can't prove any of that. But, I mean, if something like that were to happen, then, yeah, you could have opened some portals to some demonic stuff. And the only thing I can see as to date, since after the Lutz left the house, nothing else has ever happened, is if there were an entity of sorts in the house that it was attached to the Lutz family and just followed them wherever they moved to next. I mean, that's the only take I can take from it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So I think it was a great talk. Mm-hmm. I really appreciate it. So. Good job coming up. Did we say that was your mm-hmm. pick? Yeah, I think we did. So this had a capital N on it, right?
I believe so, yeah.
Well, should have anyway. Okay, well, thank you. And I hope the Creepies enjoyed that talk just as much as we enjoyed giving it and having it. So it's that time. What time is it? About that time.
About that time. I would say this is your time for a middle-aged moment. Or middle-aged dark side.
What do you think it's going to be? I know you're always wrong, but I think I have a feeling
you're going to flip the coin.
I think you're going to have. I have a feeling you're going to be right tonight. I just have a feeling.
I'm going to shake the magic eight ball. Mm-hmm. It says, "Please ask again later."
We'll call that right then.
This is a pretty dark topic, mm-hmm. so I'm going to go on the limb and say it's a middle-aged moment.
Oh, man, I thought you were so close. I thought you were going to say it's a dark side.
See, I'm always wrong.
Dang. I really was like, see, you got it. It is a very dark topic, and I'm just going darker. I thought this was a good time. I've been actually wanting to use this for a dark side. So I'm going to read the description of this, and I want you to see if you can guess, because this will be kind of fun. You probably will get this, but... While earlier tracks by bands such as Led Zeppelin and Iron Butterfly still cause debates over whether they've heard or their hard rock or heavy metal, Black Sabbath's debut album and its title track are undeniably the most evil, distorted, and aggressive development of hard rock, blues rock, and psychedelic rock, which would later be dubbed heavy metal music. It's slow, heavy sound until the outro is a precursor to the heavy metal subgenre known as doom metal. Do you know what song this is?
Iron Man.
No! Although that's a great song too. So this is...
Paranoid.
No, this is Black Sabbath. You know what this is. You're just toying with me. This is Black Sabbath's debut album, and it is the song Black Sabbath, right?
Mm-hmm.
Fantastic. It's so dark. So I can't recreate the song as well as it is, you know, produced. And so if you haven't heard it and you have an interest in being completely like depressed, no, it is a very dark, heavy sound. The music is amazing, but there's an instrumental intro that is so, it draws you into the theme of this, which, like I said, is rather dark. What is that? I'm sorry. I'm not getting a good start, am I? What is this that stands before me? Figure in black, which points at me. Turn around quick and start to run. Find out I'm the chosen one. Oh no, as Ozzy says, exclaims, right? Excuse me, I have a frog in my throat. Big black shape with eyes of fire, telling people their desire. Satan sitting there, he's smiling, watching those flames get higher and higher. Oh no, no. Please, God help me, which he does. That's a really sad and scary part. Then there's obviously lots of music and all that good stuff. Is it the end, my friend. Satan's coming around the bend. People running because they're scared. The people better go and beware. No, no, please no. And then there's a lot of guitar solos. And it's phenomenal. Like I said, it's really hard to get across how groundbreaking that song was without actually listening to it, because it seems so simple just, you know, reading those dark lyrics. But I like the fact that it was called doom metal, because mm-hmm. I mean, there is a huge sense of doom. But yeah, Ozzy, of course, is my gosh, he's still going. I saw him in a commercial the other day.
Mm-hmm.
What was it, for soccer or the Olympics or something or other? I don't know. It was like he's put together with a wing and a prayer, as far as I can tell.
Yeah.
I do love him, though.
Oh, yeah. No, he's
oh, cool,
lasting longer than anybody would have ever suspected.
He's awesome. So, anyway, like I said, there's not... The reason I wanted to use that was we have a dark topic, and we got it. We made it a little darker with our middle-aged dark side, right?
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah. Do you have the second part of the announcements bringing us out of that darkness?
I do.
Awesome.
Follow us on our social media accounts, Instagram, Facebook, TikTok, X, Rumble. You can email us at makopodcast@gmail.com. That's two A's in Mako. Make sure you hit that subscribe button, give us a 5-star rating, and leave us a review if the app allows. Whether you are a business or individual and you want to be a show sponsor, email or message us on Facebook or Instagram. We sell all kinds of merch, so go get you some. And please,
you came to life for that one. I like it.
And please check out our Friday Fright videos on all of our socials.
That's right.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Thank you for doing that. I appreciate it greatly. Mm-hmm. And what else do you have for us?
Get out. And that's a wrap.
I like that one. That's a good one. Good job. Mm-hmm. You've been thinking about that one all the whole show, haven't you?
The show. Yep, I was waiting for it.
All week long, right? Well, thank you very much for that. And we want to thank you, Creepies, for listening to episode 179 and our discussion on the infamous Amityville Horror House. So until next time, Nate is your tech engineer. We are your hosts, Todd and Sean, and we are middle-aged.
And creeped out.
Keep it creepy.